Kadosh. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Asher Haya Vehove Veyavo, Asher Haya Vehove Veyavo, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Adonai Elohim, Sevaot, Asher Haya Vehove Veyavo, Asher Haya Vehove Veyavo, Kadosh, 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 Kadosh.
You can tell my voice is back. I lost it for a while, but Mina helped me out a little bit. Yeah, it helped me get through that part of it. Adon HaKavod. Adon HaKavod. Melech Hamlachim, Shemeset Ka'umar Peh, Biknafeah, Adon HaKavod, Melech Hamlachim, Shemeset Ka'umar Peh, Biknafeah, Adon HaKavod, Melech Hamlachim, Shemeset Ka'umar Peh, Biknafeah. Since it is Palm Sunday tomorrow, and they sang this when Jesus came riding in, Hosanna, Baruch Haba, Veshem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch Haba, how does it go? Baruch Haba, Veshem Adonai. Hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Alleluia. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Shem Adonai, Alleluia. Amen. That was big as day. Very simple. Simple sentence structure, too. Yeshua, ani ohev otcha. 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 Dule Adonai Kitov. Remember this one? Odule Adonai Kitov, ki le olam chasdo. Odule Adonai Kitov, ki le olam chasdo. Hodu, 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 Adonai Kitov. Hodu, 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 Adonai Kitov. Hodu, Adonai Kitov. Ki le olam chasdo, Hodulatonai kito ki le olam chasdo. Hodu, 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 hodulatonai kito. Hodu, 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 Ladonai Kitov. Excellent. And that's why when I open my prayers, I give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. In obedience to this, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy, which endures forever. All right. Let's look at this dialogue. That's what we did last week. We looked at it first, and then we had the quiz. Of course, we could always... We will... There. Gotta love Dr. Booth's pictures. Cow in sackcloth. Habakar. Okay. So very quickly. Ba'yareach. Ma'im nashuv. And you know, you immediately recognize that it's a continuation of the dialogues that have preceded this. You see the storyline. You're kind of learning the story as you go along memorizing these dialogues. Ma'im nashuv, ulai yinahem elochav, lo ish el vikizev, natsuma, v'nil basha sachim, gam habakar, uven adam ve'yit nacham. And by memorizing that, you get the added benefit of memorizing a verse. And you know, this is a very commonly quoted verse. I've had Jewish friends that have quoted this at me, you know, in trying to defend their position on prophecy. Lo ish el vik, and then I would quote it to them in Hebrew. There's a whoa. Sometimes, you know, they can argue Hebrew and English, you know, and it sounds like they know what they're talking about. But once you've begin to learn Hebrew, you began to appreciate what they're saying, but you can also see that there are options sometimes when it comes to translation. Okay, so we'll work through the Malim and then the Shua. Let me blow it up a little bit. I should just do that. Ma, ma, im, im, nashuv. And you recognize that the na is the, that means we. That's the the pronoun, that's the prefix, the performative with the future for ended for the third person plural. Na, nashuv. Okay, and hushav. Hushav. Hu yeshuv. Hu yeshuv. Okay. And you can see in the translation value that sometimes it actually it means to return. And but it often in the Bible is translated to repent. So when God is calling, is giving the command shuv, He's calling for repentance, return. You know, return to me, and I will return to you. And I mean that's That's the idea. That's the thought. Turn to God. Return to God. So, Ma'im Nashuv. Ma'im Nashuv. Okay. Ma'im Nashuv. What if we repent? And Ma is an interrogative. Remember, we had those early on. Malim Nun Ulai Ulai Inahem Inahem. Gotta say it with a ch. Inahem Necham Necham Yinahem Yinahem Elohav Elohav. And then the Shwa. Ulai inechem Elohav. Ulai inechem Elohav. See, once you've worked with this, then it becomes easier to read it without the vowels, doesn't it? Nun Aleph, Melim, Lo Ish, Lo Ish, El, El, Vikazev, Vikazev, Kizev, Kizev, Yekazev. Okay, and then the Shua. Lo Ish El Vikazev. Lo Ish El Vikazev. Okay. Balim Nunbet Natsuma. Natsuma. Natsum, Hutam, Huyatsum, Nilvasha, Nilvasha, Lavash, Lavash, Yilbash. Yilvash. Okay. And then the line. Natsuma v'nilvasha sakim. Yeah. And if you notice Natsuma, it has that kamate on the end. See, that's how you would know to translate it, we should fast, because that is what's called the volitional hay. And many times that's added on that. Instead of Natsum, we will fast. Okay, that is the future form of the word, but when you add that Natsuma, you know to translate it as volitional, and also it's the first word of a recorded speech. That's the, that is, and this is a dialogue, and that's the first word, Natsuma. And you see the basic form of the word, Tsum, Tsam, and Yatsum. Oh, I forgot Sakim. Sakim. Okay. Nun Gimel. Gam. Gam. Habakar. Habakar. Gam Habakar. That gama should be familiar already because of we learned that early on in Dr. Boo. It's a good one to know. Nundalit. Uvenadam. Uvenadam. Vayitnacham. And he points out that it's a pausal form. That means the spelling is different. It's so that it's more vocalized. It's a slower pronunciation. Hu hitnacham, hu hitnachem. Yes. What do you mean?
You know how it says who nicham and then it says he repented
nicham.
Yeah, what, are those two different verbs?
Yes, it is. You haven't had that yet.
Okay.
It's the hit fayel.
And which one is the hit?
The hit, you see, yes, with the hey, hirik, okay. Tav. That's something that's added to make a new verb form.
Okay. And what's the one on the right? Is that
that's the the third masculine singular of the cow.
Oh, okay.
And the same thing with the future.
Okay.
This is just the hit by L, and we'll get to that. We had the he fell last week, right? Okay. All right. Ba'im nashuv. Ulai yinehem elochav, lo ish el vikazev, natsuma, benil bashasakim, gam habakar, uvenadam, beyit nacham. All right, so let's play. Okay. Kathy, at bat yareach. Mina, Chaim, and Carlton, Ata Yona.
Ma'im Nashu.
Ulaim Hem Aloha.
Lo Yish El Vi Azeb.
Matsuma.
Good. Okay. So let's mix it up. Kathy, Chaim, Julie, Bat Yareach, and Ani, Yona. Lo ish el vikazev. Uven Adam ve'it nacham. Okay. Kathy, you can at Yona and Carlton bat Yareach and wait. Mina already did him ha'em, right? Okay, Mina bat Yareach, Carlton ha'em.
Ulai
Elohav, his God.
Lo ish el mihazel.
Bayareach. Yes. Venil Basha. Sakim. Tov meod.
Uven Adam Vayi Nechav.
Okay. Tov meod. Good. Keep working on it. And, you know, the more that you can do this without looking at it, the better. But, you know, I mean, it helps, you know. You know, like, you know, you have the exercises where it gives you the line and then you repeat the line and then it gives you the line and it helps to have it where you can look at it, but do it without the book. As I know, as frightening as that might seem, it really is beneficial. It'll not only show you that you're learning it, but it'll also put you on the spot and kind of force your mind to come up with it without looking at it. And without trying to sound it out, you know, when you're looking at the text, so that you can do it like this: Ma'im nashuv ulai nechem elochav lo ish el vikazev natzuma benil b'shasakim gam habakar uven adam ve'it nacham. See, because I've been through that many times, so now it's ingrained in me. And that's what I really loved about Dr. Booth's materials, especially in memorizing the Shema and in the other memory verses. I kept working on them, and I just discovered that it was so much easier to memorize that way with recordings, that I began working on memorizing the whole book of Jonah. I got more than halfway through. I was working on the beginning of the third chapter. Well, when, you know, work and other school and everything kind of undermined that effort. But once school is out, I'll get right back to it. I'll renew that effort. But I also learned that when I had to memorize verses in English, having a recording really helped. Having the recording and writing it out, having the recording and just going over it repeatedly, and because it gets inside of you. It gets inside, and it helps to plant it inside of you. I mean, you think about it. We learn songs that way. We hear them repeatedly on the radio, and then we begin singing along with the song. You do the same thing with the recording. You hear the recording repeatedly, and then you begin saying it with the recording, and then you can do it without the recording, just like you can do the songs without the recording. And then you have memorized it. So, you ready for your adventure in learning? Now that you had your big review.
Okay, this is going to put, this is what the quizzes are all about. Put you on the spot. So don't let your mind freeze out on you. You can do it. Is that how you feel when you take a quiz?
Yeah.
Like that sheep up there? What do I do? Let me pause this.
Are you a nurse?
Who knows what will happen? Only the Lord.
Yes.
Praise Him no matter what.
Right.
Okay. So, to help you, memorize the Shema. What I did was I put all of the pages that deal with the Shema in one package, and I recorded them.
Nice.
I put all the recordings on here, put it on here twice, actually. One for each verse. Okay, then the two full recordings from the material, plus another recording from a rabbi. So you have three recordings, and you'll notice that the man, his recording is slower than the woman's is faster, but this rabbi is the fastest. It's like the man does it in 51 seconds, the woman is like 46 seconds, and the rabbi is like 41 seconds. So you get the different flavors. And I also put on here Gol El Adonai Dachecha, the song, but I didn't put the words on here. And I didn't do the one that we have today, actually. You got one of these, Mina?
Yes.
And you got one, Judy? Well, it helps. Then you can, it's MP3, you can play it in your car.
Yeah, right.
You can listen to it without the pages, you know, work on it with the pages. But the recordings give you the vocabulary, and then it gives you the full phrase. And then you pull it all together in the whole Shema. But memorize that by the end of the course. And you too will discover what I've discovered, how it sticks with you by working with the recordings. And that's what the highlight of this material is the recordings, working with the recordings and developing fluency with the language in order to develop your reading ability. Okay? What we do with the School of Ministry and what I've proposed that we do in the Bible College with the grammar, the basics of Biblical Hebrew, my intention is to teach that in the coming year and as a separate course, to continue teaching this, but to continue to teach the basics of Biblical Hebrew, the grammar, in the Bible College too. But what you have happening there is two different skill sets, actually. With one, you're developing your reading skills. With the other, you're developing your analytical skills. One, you're learning the language. The other, you're learning about the language in order to talk about the language. And both skills are beneficial. Both skills are helpful. If you're going to study in order to teach like they do in the School of Ministry, the basics of Biblical Hebrew is essential. You need to be able to do that in order to analyze the language in order to draw out the meaning. Okay, but what I encourage them to do, and what I encourage you to do, is to develop the reading ability, because that will cut your work in half. I mean, because then you're not having to look everything up, and a lot of times you understand just the basics of, you understand how it's supposed because you picked up a lot of the grammar just from the language itself. You get a feel for it. You're going, you'll have an understanding without necessarily being able to explain it. But if you put the two together, you'll have the understanding and you'll be able to explain it at the same time. You know, without having to rely on software. Software will only take you so far too. I mean, your software, it will help. It might help you to identify the root. It might help you to parse it. It might parse it for you. It might tell you that what you're looking at is a PL perfect 3ms of the word shem, mem, ein. Okay, but it's not going to tell you what that means in the context of the scripture that you're looking at. I mean, it doesn't. Sure, you don't have to.
But you would.
And that's what some people do, and that's as far as they go. They may look and see what it says, what the lexicon says that word means, and many times they make an error. And when they look at the lexical entry, they seek to define that word on the basis of everything that's in that lexical entry, and sometimes they get their meanings confused because that word doesn't necessarily carry all of those meanings in the context of what you're looking at. Okay, it might mean one thing in one context and a completely different other thing in another context. So you really have to be able to look at the broader context of the word in the passage in which you're studying. Just maybe the verse or the paragraph or sometimes even the context of the whole book and how the words are being used in those books. But traditionally, when guys just they just get that first year or second year seminary training, they've relied on word studies. And you remember that from Sarah was trying to get us to do word studies. That's what a lot of pastors and teachers do. And you hear that a lot of times in the Bible studies. They'll say, well, in the Hebrew this word is, or in the Greek this word is, and then they'll define the word for you. Okay? But there's more to it than just defining the words. Because words are in sentences. Words are in relationships with other words, and that's called syntax. There's sentence structure, and so you need to really go beyond the basics. You need to keep working with it. You need to take it a step further. But developing your reading ability will cut the work in half. It'll make it so much easier. It'll make it so much enjoyable. You'll be able to read the Bible in Hebrew without having to stop and analyze everything, without stopping to look everything up. You'll be able to read it and understand most of what you're reading. You know, I mean, and then as you progress, you know, after you've worked through the 500 friends and you begin, and then I'm going to show you some materials that will help you. I have a recording of the whole entire Hebrew Bible. I think I told you about it before. And maybe by the time we finish up in the summer, I'll have that available for you. I'll make some copies of it. And because I think it has to be a DVD because it's so many.
Did you get that off of Bandcamp?
The readings of the Hebrew Bible?
Yeah.
Perhaps. It wasn't very expensive. It was like $35 or something like that. Yes, actually, it was a radio announcer in Israel, and they used to broadcast them on the radio. So, you know, you radio announcer's voice, and a lot of what we have here on these recordings is a radio announcer's voice. Dr. Booth employed that also, and they're really articulate, and unlike the rabbinical readings, which can be a little bit faster, like you're going to find out with a Shema. They're much more easier to follow. They're more distinct. You know, the pronunciation is clear, and it's easier to learn from that. But when you begin reading through the Bible, you want to read through it with recordings. And I'll show you some other materials that I have that kind of breaks it down, like the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. It has it in one side is Hebrew and one side is English, kind of like what we have here in Dr. Booth. And he's the one that recommended that. And these books, they were out of print. So, you know, I thought I found somebody had all five of them. But then they sent me back in a message and said, we no longer have this. But I was able to find all of them, like on Amazon. And just looking on the internet, and so I have them all now. And I'll show those to you when we're working through it in class, and you'll see because these are the books that children use to learn to read Hebrew. You know, so they have all the vowel pointings, and but you want to read through it with a parallel English translation at first. The JPS is a good one for that. because it's not like an interlinear. It's not word for word. It's you have the Hebrew and then you have a translation, so you can compare it and you can kind of check your understanding along with the. And then if you need to look anything up, you can look. You know, you'll have the skills and the ability to look things up and to kind of flesh out the meanings of what it is that you're looking at. But today, we want to look at the one and only grammar point, and it's a very short one. And then I think we have a memory verse, and then we'll have the reading from Jonah. And I wish I would have been reviewing the verbs every week. So we'll review the verbs from this reading section. But you know, you should always go and utilize that chapter where it has the verbs. But here, the grammar point on page 201, Nifal and PL are different words, okay? And he says, consider this sentence, Ulai Yinechem Elochav. Okay, you remember that from Numbers? It's kind of like that. Ulai Yinechem Elochav. Perhaps that's from the dialogue. Perhaps his God will feel remorse. And he says, to notice that Yinechem, he will feel remorse, does not have a direct object in Hebrew. The verb yinechem belongs to the pattern called nifal. And you see nifal there. And it's closely related verb, one that shares the same root letters, nun, chet, mem, requires a direct object. Yinechem, he will comfort someone. So it's, in one case, it means feeling remorse or repenting, and in another case, it means to comfort someone, and it requires the direct object there. The verb expects a direct object and may use et with a definite object. That's the definite direct object marker. And you notice the sentence, Hu yinechem otam. And, of course, you recognize otam is the direct object marker. We call these the objective pronouns. But it's the direct object marker with a pronominal suffix. And he will comfort them. And back up here to Yinechem. This is Nifal. You remember that from earlier. And the nun of the Nifal verb form has been assimilated. That's the Dagesh. The nun is the Dagesh there. Yinechem. That is one of the differences between that word and this word. Yinechem and Yinechem. Kind of says you say them the same way. They sound the same. So Yinechem, without the Dagesh, it belongs to the PL pattern, and it's different from Yinechem, which is the Nifal pattern. And the verbs are close in form and meaning, but they are different. And he points out this right here. Look at that sentence right there. This happens in language and languages. It happens. Sometimes, you know, words will originate in different spheres, and then when it comes to usage, they look a lot alike. And to think about it in English, the verbs like lie down and lay it down, they're similar, but they have two different meanings. The student is encouraged to be aware that a difference exists. Okay, so that's to take all the pressure off of you. So now you're not being encouraged to memorize massive paradigms. Just recognize that there's a difference. And listen to the words, like Yinechem Oto, he will comfort him, and Yinechem, he will feel remorse. In their context, the context becomes the decisive criterion with these verbs when in the past tense. The context, very, very important in distinguishing which is which. The Nephel and the PL, past tenses, have identical form, but the context will keep them separate. And you had all of these recordings all of these are recorded for you. Kinechem Adonai Alzot, which is Nephel, which is Amos 7:3. And, you know, then like in the King James, it would say something like, it repented the Lord. The Lord felt remorse about this. And then you have one from Isaiah 51:3, Ki Nechem Adonai Zion. And that's PL. For the Lord has comforted Zion. It has a direct object. And in the first one, you have Al and not a direct object. Ki Nechem Adonai Alzot. And then Jeremiah 18:8. Vinachamti Al Chara'a. I will feel remorse for the bad. Nephal. So that's a preposition and not a direct object. Then binachamtim veshimachamtim megunam. I will comfort them. The mem is the direct object on binachamtim. See, it's embedded. The direct object is embedded in the verb form. And so you can see the difference. And the difference is that one takes a direct object and the other does not. But the... and then you have a drill that uses these words. The drill replaces Yinachem, he will feel remorse, with a closely related Yinacham, he will comfort. Okay? So you can kind of you can reinforce what you just talked about in the grammar section. See, he's not giving you the full explanation, but he's giving you what you need in order to continue to work with the language. And so the important aspect of it is to recognize that there is a difference. Even though the forms are similar and closely related in meaning, you know, he will feel remorse and he will comfort them. Maybe when he's feeling remorse, he's comforting himself. I don't know. So maybe there's more to it than, you know, in the origins of these words that has been lost, that we don't fully see. But you can see that there is a related meaning. But they're two different forms. That was the whole point. And then there was no other... there was another grammar point. I'm sorry. This one is page 204. Verbs that have the same second and third root consonants. These are called geminates. And geminate, it means twin. Gemini means twin. So these are twins. So verbs... whose three root consonants has the same second and third consonant will show many irregularities, okay? And always important to look at the footnotes. When the student's ready, okay, you can get this grammar. This is the grammar that Dr. Booth recommends if you look at the footnote number 2. Juan Marroca. And it is excellent. You know, I have that on my accordance. But I haven't used it yet. What we used was Bruce Waltke's Hebrew syntax, which is probably more up to date, and both of them have been beneficial and helpful to me and looking. But in those books, it takes the basics to the next step. Like Bruce Waltke's is broken down in the same way that Pratico's is broken down in terms of the noun system and the verbal system. So you use in the traditional approach to the grammars, you're looking at the nouns first, and then you're looking at the verbs. That's what we're doing in the School of Ministry. That's what we'll do next year, and you'll be ready for it after working through this and continuing to work with the recordings over summer. But anyway, but those will give you a fuller explanation of the features of the grammar. And so in the dialogue from chapter 8, you met one of these verbs, the he fell future tense, tagen, the three MS forms of lahagen, to defend, are huhagen and huyagen. And the root, the Hebrew word for root is shoresh, hashoresh, of this verb is gimel nun nun. So you see the geminate. You see the identical second and third root letters. Now, another of these verbs was also in drill 2 of that chapter, hu hagen. And you know, it might be a good idea to go back and look at that. That was the last week's. He acted with grace. And hu yachon, he will act with grace. Its shoresh is chet nun nun. And these verbs, whose roots have the same second and third root letter, are called in Hebrew kephalim, but in the other grammar that we use, they're called geminates. And they're also called ein ein. Because, or double ein verbs, because, like Juan Marroca and many of the traditional Hebrew grammars, they will use pei, ein, and lamed to identify the first, second, and third root letters, which is what we have with the basics of biblical Hebrew, which we're using in the School of Ministry. It will tell you, 1, 2, and 3. But the traditional Hebrew uses that pa'al. Pa'al is the Hebrew word that means work. It's also in modern Israeli used to refer to verbs. And you notice that all the names of the different verb forms are built upon that word. Nifal, Piel, Pual, Hofel, or Hifel, Hofel, and Hitpael. Pa'al is also Kal. Okay, those are two different designations, but it's those three root letters. Right here, let me show you that. This might help to see. What it's saying is that the last two are identical. That's what we're looking at. And they're called ein ein because it's doubled. Okay. That is something just to store away in the back of your mind, because when you're working with different literature, sometimes they will use one designation, sometimes they'll use another designation. So you want to be familiar with both of them so that you're not saying like, so that you don't think that you're looking at something that's totally new or totally different or that you've never seen before, which is the experience that I had when I started working with that intermediate literature. I wasn't ready for it. Now I'm ready for it. So ein verbs, and you notice the word chanan. Those two are doubled. The noon is doubled, and one of them is a final noon. The ein second root letter is noon, and the lamed third root letter is also noon. And a short way of referring to that is ein, which means that the ein root letter consonant is repeated and used for the third root consonant as well. So verbs with ein are considerably different from the standard patterns of the kal, hefel, and the nefel. And these are what's, they fall into that, what's known as the weak verb categories. We highlight that in the basics of biblical Hebrew. We're studying the strong verb categories, and then we look at the weak verb categories. But the emphasis is on learning the strong verbs and then learning the characteristics of the weak verb patterns so that you can navigate that a little bit easier. That's why they're considered to be weak, because they undergo a lot of spelling changes in different environments. And the verbs... in fact, the kal has four different types of ein patterns. And those with a vowel in the future tense and with a short 3MS past tense may be thought of as statives. The regular non-stative chanan is recommended as the first pattern to learn, okay? And the four pa'al pattern, ein verbs, are produced by two parameters, two consonant past tense versus three consonant past tense. And whether or not to add a dagesh in the first root consonant in the future tense. So just kind of read through this, you know, and kind of soak it in, but keep working with the recordings. And if you come back in the fall, we'll definitely have a full explanation of what he's describing here. And then it'll make more sense. And because you've worked with it here, and you've already been exposed to these kinds of words in this pattern, when you get to the full explanation, then that will make sense. But just to finish out, the more dynamic and more regular pattern refers to the long past tense with three consonants, Zavav and Chanan. Within this subset, there may be a future tense with a dagesh in the pay, first root consonant, like Yesov. And there may be a future tense without a dagesh, like Yachon and Yasov, and a less common form, Yasov. See, I mean, all of this, it can be kind of confusing because you don't have anything to attach it to yet, but you will, and then it'll become clear. The stative pattern prefers the two consonant tense. Tom, he finished, and Kal. So sometimes the words are like that in form now with the two letters. But originally they had three letters, okay? And sometimes in the different forms, that second mem will reappear. The same thing with the Kal. He was light. That second identical consonant will reappear. And so he says that this subset, too, can have two different future tenses, depending on whether or not there is a dagesh in the pre-root consonant, yadol. He will be weak, or yechol. He will be fast. Then you just see the examples below. So only Hanan and Hechel are read in the tracts. Those are the example words that were given here. And before we, then he fleshes it out. Okay, see, Hanan is over here in the first column, and Hechel is over here, and you see it at the very bottom. You see the words. Hechel is in the second to the last column. And then you have other words to show you how this pattern will play out. And those are the only ones that you have on the recording, but you have some of the other words that we were exposed to. You see how they play out. And here is where I tell you that the second root consonant has reappeared. Look under the kal. And you notice the dagesh and the lamed in every one of those. That is the second root consonant. The lamed, it reappears as a dagesh. The same thing, you see it over here. The lamed has reappeared in a dagesh. And sometimes you see it, with the recordings, with the one that we have recorded for us, you see the noon, one of the noons assimilating. The noon here, the two noons here, and Hanuni, Hanoni, this noon, that part of the noon, is the pronominal suffix for we. And the noon of the root is assimilated right there as the dagesh. And so you can kind of observe that pattern in each one of these. But if you get any, I like it because he gives you the full picture, the full paradigm. And I did the same thing that I with these that I did with the other patterns, is I isolated the recordings, and I would work through these systematically. I'd work through the so that I could internalize the verbal forms. And but you have the whole paradigm here. You have the past tense, the participle, you have the future tense, and you have the sequential, the vav chaypuch, and the infinitive construct. And then down here you have the basic word with the basic meaning. You have the 3ms of the past and the 3ms of the future, or the 3ms of the perfect and the 3ms of the imperfect, two different ways of referring to the same form. Perfect is past, imperfect is future in terms of tense. And imperfect refers to the aspect. Perfect refers to the aspect, it's completed action, but past refers to the tense. And as Dr. Booth points out, that verbs in Hebrew can be better understood as tense aspects, meaning that sometimes the emphasis is on the tense, sometimes the emphasis is on the aspect. However, when you get to the basics of biblical Hebrew and many of the traditional approaches, they treat these verbs as pure aspect, but they're not pure aspect, okay? And they would suggest that you can only determine the tense from the context and from its relation to other words in the context. But Dr. Booth, I think, rightly points out that he has an article in this in part three. At the end of part three, he has a fuller explanation of this idea of a tense aspect. But it's better in the beginning to learn these in terms of past and future, rather than perfect or imperfect aspect, completed or incompleted aspect. That's really what is referred to as being as perfect and imperfect. But in the beginning, it's better to learn it as past and future, because you'll find that many times when it's translated as a past or as a future. And the participle as a half verb is often translated in a present tense sense. But as I pointed out before, Hebrew verbs, they can be used in places that English verbs cannot be used. So there is more to Hebrew verbs. But a good starting place is past, present, and future. And that's what's being reinforced here. And then later on, you can build on that concept. You can expand that concept as you're working with the language. So that is that grammar explanation for the ein or the geminate. And why don't we take a break? And then we'll come back and we will look at the memory verse. This is a really easy one. Lashanen et Hamikra. Laikra Yudtet. Shmoneyesre. I had to think about how to say it. It's been a while. This is a very simple one. Ve'ahavta le'recha kamoka. And also on the recordings you hear him say, Ani Adonai, I am the Lord. And very simple. You already know ve'ahavta from earlier in the Shema. And Le'recha, let's repeat it. Ve'ahavta. What page is this on? 211. It's also in the handout. I put it in the handout, but I didn't get this on the recording. So that's something that I need to take care of in the future. But I did the same thing with this. I memorized this. I memorized this together with the Shema. And if you do that, I'll give you extra credit. I think the more I think about it, I think that that's what the final will be, is just reciting the Shema. Okay. Ve'ahavta le'recha re'a kamoka. And you shall love your neighbor or your friend, Raya, your compatriot, Raya, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's how we understand it. And as I like to point out with this word, kamoka, so often it's translated, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and sometimes you've heard this teaching where they say, well, that means you got to love yourself in order, you love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. Well, you got to love yourself first, but that's not what this is saying. Do you see what this right here? It says, who is like you? Kimoka is an extended, it's the long version of ki, as or like. And ka is the pronominal suffix meaning you, and this is being addressed to Israel as a single individual. Okay, and you shall love your neighbor like you. Who is like you? And that sheds a whole different light on the parable of the Good Samaritan, and when Jesus is illustrating that this Samaritan is like you, and you shall love your neighbor who is like you. You shall love your friend, your compatriot, your neighbor. And here in the explanation, you can go back to chapter 8, and it's that first page on the handout that I gave you, actually, because I put that in the beginning, where he gives you, the history of the Shema and the background. But it's called Kalal Gadol, The Big Principle, by Rabbi Akiva in the second century. And you also see it in external literature, but that is writings outside of the Bible. And these are Jewish literatures or apocryphal writings also. Jubilees and Testament of Daniel, the Testament of Issachar. You see the same relationship to love your friend who is like you, and it appears to be linked with the Shema. Because of these connections and the context of Luke 10, 25 through 28, it's possible that Rabbi Akiva was assuming and including the Shema in his Kalal Gadol. So they were tied together, and the word that ties them together is this Ve'ahavta. And you only find that twice in the Hebrew Bible. Once in the Shema and once again here. That's why Dr. Booth began it with Ve'ahavta Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, and Ve'ahavta le'recha kamoka. You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor who is like you, or your friend who is like you, your compatriot.
Is that your word? They have Rayon, both words have Rayon. Is that where they double the words to emphasize it?
Oh, you mean like an infinitive absolute? Where you have two forms of the verb? You're thinking of the infinitive absolute where you have the infinitive absolute form and then the... Yes. No. No. Here... Because right here, this is just the vocabulary like we've been working with in all the other forms. He's showing you this is the form, the hafta l'recha, Kamoka, and he's just showing you rea without the preposition, with lamed preposition, and without the pronominal suffix, ka, your, for your friend, or a compatriot, or neighbor.
So that's not really
any. No, you see the line up here? Right up here? That's it right there. Ve'ahavta le'recha kamoka, and you'll hear it on the recording, Ani Adonai, I am the Lord. And you need to throw that in there too. Very short recording. But I didn't get it on there. I wish I would have. Okay, let's look at Yonah Dalet, Achat. Chamesh. Okay. Malim Leyona Kuf Mem Zain. Okay. Vayara. Vayara. Ra Yera Elyona. Ra'a Gadala. Okay. Now, maybe this is what you were thinking of, too. I was thinking of the definitive absolute, but here you have Vayara Elyona Ra'a Gedala. Okay, repeat it. Vayara Elyona Ra'a Gedala. So, and Jonah feared a great fear. So you have the verbal form of Yara, and you have the noun, the nominative form of Ra'a. He feared a great fear, and that is that maybe that's what you're thinking of. Because you kind of find that a lot in Jonah, especially. He feared a great fear. And Dr. Booth did have a note explaining that earlier. Let's see what he had to say here. Oh, it's just an accent in Vayara. Okay. Kuf Mem Chet. Vayachar Lo. Vayichar lo. Chara. Yichira. Yichire. Sorry. Yichire. Okay. Then Yichire. Shwa. Kuf mem chet. Vayichar lo. Vayichar lo. Okay, Malim Kuf Mintet Vayit Palel Hit Palel El Adonai. And this is one of those Hit Payel forms, which we will get to. That's probably one of the most common ones. And Shuab Memkut. Kuf Mem Tet. Vayitpalel El Adonai. And Kuf Nun. Vayomar. Vayomar. And a lot of times, that word right there is the one that marks quoted speech. You know, that's how come you would see a quote. And if we just put it all together, Vayire el Yona Ra'a Gedala el Yacherlo Vayitpelel el Adonai Vayomar. And then you have a quoted speech right here. Then Kof Nun Aleph Anna. Anna Adonai. Adonai. Haloze. Haloze. Devari. Devari. Ad heyote. Ad heyoti heyot haya el adamti adama. And you see what's happening here with hadoti. Okay, it's built on, this is the third masculine singular form here, chaya, and it's a participle, chayot, being, to be, state of sense, my being. I don't think it's a participle, sorry, but it's built upon that word, be, to be. Okay, let's see. Shwa Kufnun Aleph. Ana Adonai Haloze Devari Ad Hayoti Al Adamti. Okay. See, you like the longer ones are more challenging, aren't they? Ana Adonai Chaloze Devari Ad Chayoti El Adamti. You know, and that's one of those phrases that sticks with me. Ana Adonai. Ana Adonai. Okay. And he's basically saying, isn't this what I told you that would happen? Didn't I say that this, when I was still in the land, before I ran away, isn't that what I told you? I knew it. That's what he's saying. I knew it, God. I knew you would do that. Okay. Malim Kuf Nun Bet. Al Ken. And that's a good one to memorize or just to hold in your memory. Therefore, for that reason, Al Ken. Al Ken. And that's the word we use for yes, thus, or it is so. Ken is yes. Ken would be used for yes in modern Israeli. But Al-Ken means therefore, for this reason, for that reason. Okay. Kidamti. Kidamti. Kidam. Kidem. Yakadem. Livroach. Barach. Yivrach. Tarshisha. You remember Tarshish? It has the directional hay at the end, the comets and the hay. To Tarshish. That's where you get the two from. To Tarshish. Okay. Now, Shua Kufnin Bet. Al ken kidamti livroa tarshisha. Yeah, that's why I fled to Tarshish. And then Kufnin Nun Gemo Ki Yadati Yada. Yeda. And you see the difference between those two? One's a past tense and one's a future tense. The only difference between the two is the vowel. And I think that the yud here is not a part of the root. It's the prefix of the future tense. We call it the performative. Okay, then the ki yadati, the shua, ki yadati. Okay, kuf nun dalet, ki. Ata El Chanun. El Chanun. Ve Rachem. Rechum, sorry. Ve Rachum. Good. This is a good one to memorize too. El Chanun. Ve Rachum. Okay, let's go back to the line. The Shua Kuf Nun Chet. Oh no, Kuf Nun Zain. Ve'ata Adonai. No, wait, I'm too far down. Sorry. Yes. Kufnun Dalet. Ki ata el Hanun ve Rachum. Ki ata el Hanun ve Rachum. Ki ata el Hanun ve Rachum. Yes. Ve Rachum. You know, and it's a good idea that after you've worked through this to try to read it out loud and then go back to listen to the recordings. Do it again and improve your pronunciation. And it'll reinforce it. You know, and, you know, that's a lot of times that's what I have to do too. That's why the recordings are so valuable. Because half the battle is learning how to pronounce it. And the recordings are doing that for you, and you're following along with the recording and learning it. So, Kufnun He, Erech Apaim. Erech Apaim. And this is an idiomatic expression, Erech Apaim, slow to anger, but it also means. Literally, it means long of nose, okay? And if you think about it, when somebody is angry, their nostrils flare. You know, it's kind of Hebrew uses a lot of these idiomatic expressions. It's picturesque language. And that's what's happening here. So, I mean, if you tried to translate this literally, it's not going to make sense, so it's important to understand that what you're looking at, if it doesn't make sense like that, you're going, what? Long of nose? What does that mean? It's important to understand that what you're looking at is an idiom.
You know what really strikes me right now is we're supposed to be patient, and we're being conformed into the image of Christ. And so it's big to me to just see this. They always say that about God, but I'm not by it.
Yeah, and you know, and he's saying that a lot in his prayers here too. You're a gracious God. You're forgiving God. You're slow to anger. You're patient. That would be another way of saying it too, in more idiomatic English. You know, we would say it more like that. We wouldn't necessarily say slow to anger. I need to be more slow of anger.
Yeah.
You know, we might say that because we read the King James Bible, but in everyday speech, we wouldn't say it like that. You know, we would say, I need to be more patient.
Yeah, we sometimes say people have a short fuse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Idiomatic expression. What does that mean? If you try to flesh it out literally. Okay, Erica Pime, Ve Rav Chesed, Rav Chesed. You remember that from the dialogue? Hashem Rav Chesed. Okay, and you remember that? You know, a lot of the vocab. That's why Jonah is a good book to begin with, because a lot of the vocabulary is repeated throughout the book. A lot of this vocabulary we've already been exposed to. So let's look at the Shiva Kuf Nun He. Shiva Kuf Nun He. Erech Apaim Ve Rav Chesed. Great in mercy. You know, Chesed is one of those words. That has a lot of different translational values. Mercy is one of them. Steadfast love, that's one of my favorites. That's from the Revised Version. That's how it would translate it. But covenant love, you know, this is the love that God has for his people. It's a committed kind of a love. Now, Malim, Venacham, Al Chara'a, Kuf Malim Kuf Nun Vav. Ve'necham achara'a. Necham. Okay. Feels regret. And the Shavua. Kuf Nun Vav. Ve'necham achara'a. Then Kuf Nun Zayin. Ve'ata. And you notice that ata sounds like ata. Ata sounds like ata. It sounds like you, but this is the spelling is different. And and so now, ve'ata. Ata. Ata. I think that you could give it a more of a ah with the from the back of your throat because of the ayin, ata, or as opposed to ata, ata and ata. Okay, kachna, kach, lachach, yechach, et nafshi. Et nafshi nefesh memeni. And you can see the hirik yod on each one of these is the pronominal suffix. Nafshi nefesh becomes nafshi. Life becomes my life. Okay. And Shva. Kuf Nun Zayin, 4:3. Ve'ata Adonai, kakna et nafshi memeni. Ve'ata Adonai, kakna et nafshi memeni. And with that, memeni, the ni is also an alternative the pronominal suffix, in case you're wondering. Memeni. Where? I lost my way. Ki yadathayani. There we go. Kuf Nun Chet. Melim. Ki. Tov. Moti. Mot. Mechayai. Me. Chayai. Chayim. Okay. And then Kuf Nun Chet. Shua. Ki tov moti mechayai. For good is my life from, or good is my death from my life. That is another idiomatic expression. And he's saying that, you know, my death is better than my life. It's a way of making comparisons. This is a common Hebrew pattern. Come back in the fall and we will have more to say about that. Okay. Ki moti mechayai. My death is better than my death. That would be the best way to translate that. Then Melim Kuf Nun Tet. And you see the Samech there. This is common in the text. And it's just an indicator in what he's saying here. It closes. It's a blank space in the text. It's a pause. Okay, a silence. Maybe you could think about it as a dramatic silence. Then God speaks. Vayomar Adonai. Vayomer Adonai. And then the Malim, Kuv Nun Tet. Vayomer Adonai. Okay. Malim Kuv Tet. Chachetev. Chachetev. And you notice that it's a question mark because that first hey is an interrogative. Hey. And he explains that in the footnote. This question has been taken in two ways. Are you thoroughly angry, or is it right for you to be angry? The fact that an adverb is used thoroughly in a good way suggests that the first reading is more probable. You know, I like that because it gives you some more detailed explanations of what's happening with the text. Is it right for you to be angry? Chachetev. Ha is the interrogative. Yes, no question. Is it right? Chetev. Haralach. Okay. Now the Malim, the Shua is Kutet. Chachetev, Haralach. And then the Malim. Kuf Samik Aleph. Vayatse. Yona. Min Chayir. Min is from Chayir, the city. Vayatse Yona. Min Chayir. Yeah. You know which line it is. This is, now we're in verse 4, 5 of verse chapter 4. Kuf Samik Bet. Vayishev. Bikidam Lair. Mikadem le. Okay, and then the Shua. Kuf Samik Bet. Vayeshev Mikadem Leir. Then Malim. Kuf Samik Gemo. Vayeshav. I'm sorry. Vayas. Lo. Sham. Sukha. And then the Malim. Vayas lo sham sukha. And he made himself there a sukha. Oh, don't go too far. Kuf Samik Dalet, Vayeshev, Taktia? Taktia. Tachat? Bazel? Zel? And you know, ba is a preposition. And it has there's an article, because you see the dagesh and the sade and the patak under the preposition. So it would rightly be translated in the shade. So vayeshav tachtea bazel. Vayeshev tachtea bazel. And then finally, kuv samach hei. Ad asher yirei. Ma Adonai. No, I'm sorry. That's easy to do. Ma Yihye. Bayir. Okay, then the line. Ad Asher Yire Ma Yihye Bayir. Yeah, okay. So he's pouting under his sukkah on the east side of the city. All right. Just keep working with it. The more you work with the recordings, the better. The more you'll benefit from it. Yeah, when we get to the 500 friends, he doesn't break it down quite as much as this. He gives you a lot of explanation in the footnotes, but he doesn't break it down. You don't have the exercises here. You just have the readings. So we'll be ready for it by then, though, by working through Jonah. I mean, if you were to review anything, I would review Jonah, just the writings in Jonah, the different sections in Jonah. I would concentrate there for now, as well as focusing on Shema. And maybe some of the other memory verses are pretty easy to tag together with it. But focus on the Shema. Focus on reviewing Jonah for now. But maybe later on you will want to... take the time to systematically. What's this? Who brought me this? Yikes! I just saw it. But you do eventually. You want to develop a habit of working through it systematically. You know, break it down into more manageable sections. Each one. That's what I did. And the more you review, the easier it gets, the less time that you'll have to spend reviewing it. You'll refresh it. I mean, a good indicator of how far that you've come along would be to go back to booth part one and see how much you understand that you did not understand when you first worked through it. And you're going to go, well, how did that happen? Just by listening to the recordings. Okay, so this is we'll spend a little time looking at the verbs. 269, page 269. And what's helpful about this is that he goes reading by reading. So when you work on those, I mean, it would be a good idea to review this. There's no recordings with this. This is something that You just do by looking at it. And if you're interested in these are the verbs that are from Jonah, but he gives you other scriptural examples. So these are other examples. Yishchaya by Eretz Utz. There was a man from the land of Utz, and it's from Oyov Aleph Achat. This is Job, from the book of Job. You see, but you see how the verb itself is a little bigger, a little bolder, so that you can review it. And see, you're looking at it in a different context. So take the time, you know, to kind of, and if you pick up additional vocabulary from this, that's a bonus. So you can follow along with the Hebrew, like Hu Yihye Lecha Lefe, and he will become for you a mouth. And that is from the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord is speaking to Moses about his brother Aaron. He'll be like for you a mouth. He's your mouthpiece. Okay, well, let's look at the one that we were looking at today. And you notice that with each one of these, it's just the section from the reading that we did, the recording. So you could review the recordings and then review the verbs and see them in a different context. Now, what were we looking at today? Chapter 4? Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Gedalet. Where is it? Dalet. Yeah, this is it right here, right? Yonah, Dalet, Chamesh, Ve'achat. Achat, Ve'hamesh. 1 through 5. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Yeah, there's the Ra. Uveneni, Uveni, Moshe Ra. And in the eyes of Moshe, it was bad. Ra. And then you have Lame lo dachri velama yira lavavech. And why would you not eat, and why would your heart be bad? Evil intentions. And you see how they are in bold. Chara yihire. Kum kidem yechadem. And here you have Ve'af Adonai chara ba'am. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people. Lama Adonai Yechare Afcha Beamcha. Why would your anger burn against your people? And then Kedem and Yechadem. Alken Kedem Livroach Tarshisha. And this is also from Jonah. Therefore, he made an advance, he sped up to flee to Tarshish. And over here on the other side, you have the infinitive construct. Okay, he's just showing you an additional form to be aware of and what it looks like, the spelling of it. So you can kind of familiarize yourself with it as you're going along. But kind of read through these and just to assimilate the meaning, to get the sense of the meaning. Ve'et amo lachach imo. And he took his people with him. Ve'et amo, his people, lachach imo, with him. And umin hayafar yachach hakohen. And from some of the dust, the priest should take, okay? And this might challenge you to kind of become familiar with the names of the books of the Bible so that you could look it up, the books of the Bible in Hebrew. Okay, here's...
All these asterisks,
yes?
Show up once in a while. Where did they go to?
Actually, what he's... he probably explains that in the footnotes. Not in the footnotes, but in the introductory notes.
Hello.
Go back. I forgot what page. Tell me. Forget. Don't forget to tell me what page we're on. There you go. Right here. He does. In the final paragraph there. Yeah. All of the examples are taken from the Bible. For purposes of teaching, some of the sentences have been modified. In such cases, the reference verse has an at-risk. Okay, so they kind of modified just for the sake of teaching. The translations are sometimes poor English in order to help the learner recognize the Hebrew structure. And the names are given in transliteration. Yeah, good idea to read the instructions before moving into this. So, here you go. Each Hebrew verb from the book of Jonah will be presented below with two examples from another biblical context. And this material may be used as a review, a chapter at a time, or for the whole book. And one example will use the past tense, the he did form, and ha'avar, and the second example will use the future tense, the he will do form, the infinitive form to do with the lamed. And the lamed is in parentheses because the infinitive construct can use any of the prepositions. But the lamed one is the one that's most common. These two forms... given for each verb are very helpful for learning the Hebrew verbs. And many verbs will have one consonant or one vowel that will not be predictable and will not be visible in one of the two forms. So sometimes with the future form, one of the consonants will drop out. So it's important to see it in the past tense and in the future tense, so that you can compare the two together. The two forms will give the student a fuller picture of the verb. And that's what I encourage you guys to do in the School of Ministry, because they're learning the lexical forms, but to write down the future tense form together with it. I think it's really helpful to have a context like what Dr. Booth is doing right here to learn from. You know, and you kind of work through it. It takes a little bit more time to work through it and to think about the meaning of what you're seeing. But you have it there in Hebrew. You can look over and check your understanding of the meaning with the English translation. And if that's still not good enough, you can use your lexicon. Okay.
Question about the memorizing that you said you were personally doing.
Yes.
A little more to that than what we have in our
No, I just use the recordings.
Oh, I see.
When I found out how easy it was after doing some of the dialogues and after beginning, and we were required to memorize the Shema, and when it really started to click, and if I discovered how easy it was, then I actually learned the Shema a semester ahead of time. I learned it in the first semester when he said we need to learn it by the last semester. And the way he did this material, because the guys there, they weren't really on board with studying Hebrew this way. They wanted to do the grammar translation method. That's really where they wanted it. They didn't care about learning all of this. They were kind of half-hearted about it. But I was wholehearted about this, and I wasn't really up for what they were doing with the grammar translation. I'm ready for that now, you know, and I've done a little bit, but not as... That's why I'm saying I'm not really quite intermediate yet. Carl thinks I'm beyond that, but in my own estimate of myself, I'm not. So, they slowed it down. They would do one lesson in 2 weeks, which was too much time, I felt, you know, because you really need to move through this fast. And, we even probably take more time. I definitely know than they do when they teach this course. Like, they're teaching it in, I think, South Carolina this year. They usually teach it in Israel. But they take the Book of Jonah, and you're working with it every day, though. It's more of like an immersion type of experience where you're working through all of this material in a month. And you have to, and they recommend that you work through part one before you get there and that you master it. And if you've had a year of Hebrew already, you'll still benefit from it. You're still ready for this material right here. But they do it within a month. It's not an experience that I've had yet, but I would really love to do that because I think I could really glean from how to utilize these materials better in a classroom. So, when your work... Yeah?
Who does it?
Dr. Booth. Yeah, and he may have other people doing it now. He was here in the School of Ministry when I was going to the School of Ministry. And... He's it happened. He had long hair down to here, ponytail. He's a hippie guy. That's what happens to you when you study Hebrew. I'm sorry.
You don't have time to go to the barber.
Yeah, you take a Nazirite vow until you learn Hebrew. So what he's recommending here is repeat both verb forms to yourself. You don't have to necessarily say it out loud. After reading the two example sentences, the English is given in order to make the general context clear. It's not expected that all of the vocabulary in an example will be understood or learned, but please focus on the verb in large print and do not be distracted by additional unrecognizable words. If you instantly learn some vocabulary from its context, that's a bonus. And so all the examples are taken from the Bible, and some of them have been modified for teaching purposes, for learning purposes. And so that's what the at-risk means. Thanks for taking us back there so that we could work on this. And then he also gives you an explanation in the footnote here. The references are according to the Hebrew Bible. The chapter numbers are written in the Hebrew alphabet. And the verses are written in Arabic numerals, okay? For example, Yonah Aleph Chamesh would mean Jonah chapter 1, verse 5, and the verse has been altered for teaching purposes. Okay. So it'd probably be a good idea. I'll see if I can find one where and post it as a PDF where you have... the names of the Hebrew Bible and English right next to them so that you could navigate your way around. And if you wanted to look it up, you could look it up. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this instructive time that we've spent together. We thank you for being with us, to bless us and to help us and to strengthen us in our Hebrew learning. And Lord, we continue to commit ourselves into your hands, and we ask that you just facilitate this whole process, that you would plant Hebrew into our hearts and into our minds, that we might learn to read it, that we might benefit from reading your word in the original language. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yevarachacha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.